You're listening to KYRS Community Radio, and this is 92.3 FM. I'm Courtney Roderick with KYRS Local News, here with
Tom Toppin, and we have a couple, a few guests today. If you haven't noticed, we have a special show today, and this is being kicked off by the Native American chanting that was just at the Climate Strike event. And it was really an incredible event, and we're joined today by 350 Spokane,
Rebecca McMullen,
and also
Gabriel Kennedy Gibbons.
I'm so glad you guys are here. That was an incredible event we were just at. Rebecca, what did you think of that?
Oh, it was wonderful to see the huge turnout. It was really much more than we anticipated or expected as far as numbers. It was a beautiful day. But, you know, students and people of all ages in this area are deeply concerned about the climate and the need to act quickly to reduce emissions and really plan for a sustainable future. So I was so glad it, we had an amazing turnout and a lot of energy. And that was Jacob Johns who was singing at the beginning.
Jacob Johns. Oh, thank you for that. It was hard to keep track. Gabriel, you made an incredible speech, and I think I have it. I think I have it right here to play. So just okay, let me see.
Just a recap of that real quick.
First of all, I want to thank all of the wonderful, outstanding youth here today, striking from school, fighting for your future. I also really want to thank all of the wonderful adults and parents who are here supporting us because you care just as much as we do. One of you for recognizing that we as a human race have created an issue. We have created a huge problem, a mistake beyond mistakes. We have created the climate crisis. Now, when you make a mistake, the first step to fixing and correcting that mistake is acknowledging it, which is what we are doing right now, here. If you acknowledge your mistake, if we come to this strike, and then if you go home today, maybe recycle something next week, and if you feel really adventurous, pick up a few pieces of litter, that's not going to cut it, guys. We've got to act. The second step of fixing a mistake is making a change, going out of your way to deliberately do something differently. So today, I want to leave you all with three tips that I challenge each and every one of you to do. Tip number one, talk to your friends and family about climate change. Explain, you do not have to agree with them, but just bring up the topic because, yes, it may be controversial, but heck, that's what we need. We need controversy.
That was an incredible speech. I'm just amazed that these young folks seem to understand it a lot better. Gabriel, tell us.
Yeah. Well, I think that the generation that I'm kind of growing up in, where climate change is more on the news, and we're just more actively aware of it, it's an issue that's on the forefront of our minds. But I'm just really thankful to have the support of individuals and adults who are also standing right by our side and want to help us move together and move forwards. To try to fix and reverse this issue that we've all created.
Yeah, I remember we were talking briefly about some of your involvements with your school. Just tell everyone the clubs that you're in or what kind of got you started really in being an activist in the youth community.
Mm-hmm. So I'm the vice president of the environmental club at Mead High School. And that kind of has been, the environmental club has been existent at Mead for quite a few years, but it kind of died down several years ago when I was a freshman. So when I came in, I kind of came in with a whole group of students who are just as enthusiastic as I am about trying to make the world a better place. And so we put our heads together and we meet once a week. So we try to solve solutions and come up with things that are going to make Mead High School more environmentally friendly.
That's incredible. Has there been any class discussions that you've had with teachers involved as well?
So Mead is fortunate enough to have an environmental science class, which solely devoted to learning about different issues and how humans are connected to those issues and then finding solutions to those issues. And I'm in that class this year. So it's been really fun already thus far to develop and come up with lots of different solutions.
Well, tell us, where'd your incredible public speaking talent come from?
I think that I've kind of just always been comfortable when I was really little. My parents would always let me answer the phone. We have a landline. And I think by answering the phone and just talking to kind of whoever it was and navigating, figuring out what parent they wanted to talk to or if I needed to take a message down, it kind of, I guess that's where that comfort came from. And then I got really actively involved with an organization called Generation Alive, which teaches youth and empowers them on how to make a difference. And so I did some speaking and community outreach with them. And so I've just kind of slowly become more and more comfortable with it. Yeah.
If I may, Courtney, I got a question. And it's really posed to both of you. You know, there's a big gap of understanding about the issue of climate change and a lot of denial. And Rebecca, where do you think the biggest gap lies? Or what's missing for a lot of people?
I think for a while it's been, oh, that might happen eventually. And it's just been in the past even 2, 3, 4 years that we've seen really what a really strong storm looks like in the United States. When we see Hurricane Maria, when we see the flooding that's happening in the Houston-Galveston Bay area right now, that I think is starting to work against those.
The actual facts are starting to speak for themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Gabriel?
I think that us as humans have kind of sometimes it's difficult for us to acknowledge mistakes that we've made. And so climate change, whether or not you believe it exists or wherever you stand on that issue, it's a mistake. And so by treating it like a mistake and like something that can be fixed, there's kind of some innate human tendencies to want to repel and not consent to believing that the mistake is human caused.
Yeah.
But I think that by just kind of opening your mind and having an open perspective, it's okay if right now you're in a place where you don't feel like climate change is human caused. But by just listening and, you know, holding conversations and trying to challenge your perspective by interacting with people who view differently, I think that's healthy on all terms and all spectrums.
You know, we had so many good speakers. I just want to play another clip here.
Oh, yeah, sure, go.
This is from a young guy who is just started being quite active, a former military and part of the LGBT community, who's actually going to be running for a congressperson to replace Kathy McMorris Rogers by the name of Chris Armitage.
Starting to sense a trend. Mayor Condon's breaking the law. President Trump's breaking the law. Aren't there some cops here? Can we do something about that?
Yeah!
Yeah, good luck with that.
Told that you're too young to do something. So last year I decided maybe it was time to look at considering running for office. Run for something. Everyone here, we need good people running for office, not just corrupt people. Our future sold to the highest bidder by people who will not have to face the consequences. That means we have to take ownership of it. It's not just the courage to change, it's the courage to act and act and act.
Well, that was just a little snippet of Chris's speech today. And Rebecca, I mean, 350 Spokane, how long they've been at it now?
Well, we started 350 Spokane about 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I've heard so much about them in my circles. Maybe not everybody has, but how goes the battle, basically?
It's growing. It's really growing. I think we're building momentum here locally around across the state, internationally. We saw today there were 1,000 strikes taking place in the United States today and millions of people in the streets. It's been growing here in Spokane. We've been, constantly kind of slowly ticking up our contacts and the size of our group. So we're really excited. It's really... it keeps us going, right? It would be much harder to do this work if we weren't seeing that support.
So many groups trying to organize people to show up today, and I'm sure you guys did everything you could as well toward that. Any idea? Anybody want to make a guess at how many showed up today? I mean, I'd been at many events at that spot and never seen that many people there before.
I kind of tried to head count real quick, and I got around 800. But then someone I talked to said a police officer told her they estimated 2,500.
Oh, so wow. That's incredible.
I'd say over 1,000 is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that's really great. You guys are involved in so much. I happened to meet you just last weekend at the Electric Auto Association. It was the start of the local chapter of the Drive Electric Week. And we had a good time talking about electric cars and stuff like that. So you can say a few words about that event. What was the involvement of 350 Spokane in that?
Oh, we were just there in a support role for Drive Electric. We were there last year. We just try to make those connections with people. Some people just want to drive an electric car because they're really fun to drive. but other people are there because they're really concerned about fossil fuel consumption and living lives with being less dependent on oil and gas.
Fun fact, I've never had a driver's license, so.
Oh.
We're going to get electric buses.
Yes, yeah.
That's another cool thing that we briefly discussed in one of our shows. It's just electric buses. I know that alternate transportation is something that definitely could be improved here. There's so many different ways to go about it. I remember I went to Chicago for a couple days, and for a day pass of like $10, you can go on any train, any bus for that day, and it's just so cool the different ways that we could do that.
Well, I the next clip I want to play is the introduction to the governor.
Okay.
And I think that was pretty awesome. And amazing young lady by the name of Hope Henning was the MC. And she did a fantastic job.
But for our next speaker, who is a real treat, we made a special exception because he asked so nicely.
Our next speaker
is not only a fifth-generation Washingtonian, a previous student activist before he became a criminal prosecutor, an environmental champion and leader on clean energy issues, but a former presidential candidate and current 23rd governor of Washington, John Ensign!
I mean, that was some enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. You can join in and tell us about all the incredible young people that were there.
Yeah, I think that it was really inspiring to see all of the energy rallied behind one single cause. What's really neat to me was that this whole idea of solving the climate crisis, it's not a partisan issue anymore. No. I think that we're seeing more and more it's becoming an issue. It's a humanity issue. It's not something that is going to divide parties. We need to all work on this together. I've got numerous friends who are young Republicans who care just as much about preserving the environment as I do. And I think that
if we can
get past this idea that Democrats care about climate change and Republicans, you know, don't care. And if we can just all work together to help solve this problem, I think that's the next big step that we need to take.
You know, one of the speakers, I'm sorry, go ahead. Who was speaking? One of the speakers he said something that it was like a chant, but he said it backwards. So the way I turned it around, it says, he should have said, you know, it's not a political issue, it's our future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think partially it's like this tendency of, I mean, there's so much information out there. There's a tendency to categorize everything into groups naturally because there's so much. It's like, well, how do you get through it all? So you end up creating like these virtual boxes in a way. And it's like we just get used to seeing things that way. Mm-hmm. Just because of the amount of information we're presented, you know, it's just kind of interesting just to hear from someone that's like, well, you know, I think of things this way, but I guess I could see, you know, just the categorization of everything, you know, and it's just taking down those barriers. I think that's very important because at the end of the day, this is what this is.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the governor showing up, I was amazed that he was here to tell you the truth. And, he's done so much for the to bring it into the national conversation, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely a huge boost for us in the community.
And, hey, sure, he's running for re-election, so that's part of him making the rounds. But I'm just going to play the start of his speech there and going into it a little bit here.
My name is Jay Inslee. I'm governor of the state of Washington, and today I'd like to be considered a climate action kid. The youth of Spokane County has been chanting and asking for climate action now. That is the right message. It is the moral message. It is the necessary message. And today that message is being heard in Sydney, Australia, in London, England, reasons for that. Number one, the young people of Spokane County simply are right about the science. We know that. There's no debate about this. And there's so many cool things going on in Spokane County. Clean energy right now, Itron, and the cross-laminated timber company I'm going to dedicate here shortly, and Avista doing smart grid work. You know, Spokane is the smart grid capital of Washington, but it's also the smart kid capital of Washington, too. And I think the power of this movement, which has truly changed the national and the international debate, comes from a moral purpose. And that is when a 12-year-old person looks at a 60-year-old person and says, you know what, you don't have the right to ruin my future. Yeah. That is a moral. Yeah.
Good job he did. So, Rebecca, we don't have that much long, so I'm going to give you, make sure you have a chance to make your pitch for 350 Spokane.
Oh, yeah. Well, our website is 350spokane.org. You can go on there and find all of the upcoming activities, not just our activities, but we try to have a really good community calendar for other ways that you can get engaged on things that relate to climate and energy and sustainability and the food you eat. And so I'd encourage everyone who's interested in the issue to look at our website and see if that seems like an organization they'd like to support or join or any of those activities they'd like to attend.
Yeah, it's really nice to, meet up at some of these events and be able to talk to people with like minds and share similar concerns and like that. And Gabriel, you In your school, and are you in your senior year now, or
I'm a junior this year.
Oh, you're a junior, and yes. Okay, so you got quite a ways to go there. And what school is it you're at again?
It's Mead High School.
Mead, yeah. Yes. Is there a message you'd like to leave us with today?
Yeah, well, there's actually a few events I'd love to suggest everyone listening to attend. The first one is Wednesday, October 2nd, 5:30 p.m. There's going to be a Spokane Candidates Climate Change Forum at Gonzaga University. So you can come to that and hear the stance on climate change of different candidates who are going to be running in Spokane for different office positions. And then you also will have the opportunity to ask some questions of your own. And then on Saturday, October 12th, the Lands Council will be holding an urban tree planting event from 9 to noon. And it's called Reforest Spokane. So you can check that out on their website to sign up.
All right. Thank you so much for coming. And thanks for joining us and for all your great work today. It was... you know, we don't really get a chance to have breaking news that often once in a while. So we always enjoy it when we can get it like right on the spot and have it on the air in just a matter of minutes from when it was happening live. So, Courtney.
Yes.
If we had only had one of our old scripts, we could give the shout out to Atticus Coffee and Gifts and thank them. And they're right by the carousel, down the corner from their other store, Boo Radley's. So that's always important to get that shout out to them.
And then, again, for those just tuning in, this is KOR's local news. Just covering just some of the events that happened today. I just want to leave you with just this very important message that climate change does matter. Having you guys here with us today has just meant so much, and it's what we do tomorrow that could mean so much more.
And I think we should mention that there were so many KYRS programmers there today, and we're all sharing our recordings. And so I think this is going to be a broadcast for several days to come, at least. Paul Pataki's show is next Thursday, and he actually got a chance to interview the governor. And we have Taylor, and then you're going to be on a couple shows this weekend, aren't you? Tell us about that.
Oh, it's I'm just co-hosting for The Science of Poverty with Jesse. We just talk about how to improve poverty, the homeless, just shedding light on an area that's difficult and you don't hear much about.
But, and also, your friend Blake was there. You were.
He's from Sounds of Science, and he talks a lot about scientific research. And
he's probably going to be covering this as well on his show on Sunday.
But that just goes to show that, I mean, we have so many platforms here, and that really just goes with us, with you listeners as well. Keep the word alive, not just on the airways, but within yourself, within your community, with your street, you know, every single day.
This guys. Is... KYRS Local News. Be sure to join us at 8 a.m. Tuesday through Friday, 7:58 actually, for our morning news reports. And again next week, every week at 4:30 p.m. on Friday for our KYRS Local News.
Thank you for listening.
At KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.